What a blessing to be in God's house. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. My heart has been blessed in these days. I'm thankful for the privilege of being here. I'm grateful for all that the Lord has done. I marvel at how God puts things together. You see, I don't believe there's any accidents in the life of the child of God. I believe that God has a design. God has a plan. And it is encouraging in my heart when God just confirms again and again that you're walking in the right way. I want to say thank you to the church and to all the good people for your prayers and for your provisions for us while we've been here. We've certainly enjoyed that time of fellowship together. Thank you for praying for my wife. She is doing well as far as I know, and taking some treatments, so I trust you'll remember to pray for her. I got saved 48 years, 10 months, and 8 days ago. And I thought I'd tell you, it's still holding real good. I don't believe we're saved until we're sinned. I believe we're saved eternally. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth from all sin. Paul said, ye who some were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood. That blood, it was exceptional blood. R.B. Thien made this statement years ago. He said that the blood of Jesus Christ was no different than the blood that flowed through the veins of any man. And I say that is blasphemy. It was sinless blood. That, are you listening? That blood was the exceptional blood. That blood was literal blood. That blood was effectual blood. When sinners plunge beneath that flow, they lose all their guilty state. I'm saying that blood is a that blood is essential blood. I'm thankful that the blood has never lost its power. The scripture said if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Hallelujah to God. Can I say to you, there's not a sin that the blood cannot cover. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful for the blood. I'm grateful for the Bible, God's holy word. I'm grateful that I have a copy of it. Fact is, I have several copies of it. Before I got saved, I read the Bible. But since I've been saved, the Bible's been reading me. And I'm grateful for the Word of God and how it speaks to our heart. I'm thankful. Let me say, along with the pastor, thank God for the good singing. My heart is thrilled. I appreciate the choir singing. It's all been good. But I especially appreciate the choir singing. And by the way, that didn't happen by just walking in and picking up a songbook. That happened by preparation and hours of preparation. And I would commend you for your singing as unto the Lord. I'd like to be able to transfer you along with me along into some churches along the way that don't have much of a music program. Amen. I'm thankful for the Ledbetters and their good singing that exalts our Lord. I appreciate Brother Marvin West and his family and those songs. Appreciate the family who sung tonight. And by the way, had I took a pen and pencil, or a piece of paper and pen, and said, this is what God has led me to preach tonight, and I'd like for you to pick a song that would fit the theme of what I'm going to preach. It couldn't have been done any better. They didn't know what I was going to preach, but God in heaven did, and God put it together. That is the providence of the Lord. That blesses my heart. That encourages my heart. That helps me. It might not help you, but it helps me. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Now, let me say this. Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Listen, the cross of Christ is a manifestation of the love of God. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And then the cross of Christ is a mirror that reveals my sin, my wretched sin, crucified the Son of God on Calvary's cross. That cross is a place, it's the means of grace. That the cross is where mercy is extended. The cross is my motive for service. And the cross is a meeting place for all sinners. I'm telling you tonight, if you kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. I was leaving my home back in, I live in Sevierville, Tennessee. And somebody said, how is it to live there? Well, it's good when I'm there. I'm just not there that often. But I appreciate the provision the Lord made and given us a home to live in. But I was leaving a meeting on Saturday morning back in early 2008, and I was to be in Stanton, Virginia. And that morning, it was an unusual morning in this regard. It was a morning where the fog had settled in so dense that you could barely see the road. You could barely see the sides of the road. Had to run my headlights and my windshield wipers. And I started out. I picked up I-40, went up and picked up I-81, and for about 3 hours it was so dense and so heavy the mist was that I couldn't see much to the left or to the right. I could barely see just a little ways ahead of me. But when I got up into Withfield, Virginia, I'm going up 81. It's like this. It's like I drove into a new world. I had the sun shining bright and didn't need the headlights anymore. Didn't need the wiper blades going anymore. And I'm reminded that back of the clouds, the sun is always shining. I'm thankful for that. Now, in my life, spiritually, I've been saved, as I said, over 48 years. But there's been some times in my life that I couldn't see clearly. I could see a little bit, but I couldn't see. It was in that dim time, that dust time in my life. But then I confess to you, Brother Bob, there's been some times that the dimness turned into the darkness and I couldn't see anything. But I'm grateful for the dawning time when the sun rose again in my life and when I'm reminded that Jesus Christ is in control. I want to preach to you tonight on when the mist is rolled away. When the mist is rolled away. And by the way, Paul said it in the book of 1 Corinthians 13:12. He said, we see through a glass now, right now, we see through a glass darkly. We see through a glass darkly. But there's going to come a time that we'll see face to face. We'll see clearly. And can I tell you tonight, where I go, I find that there's people that are hurting. I'm talking about folks that are hurting physically. I'm talking about folks that are hurting spiritually. Tonight, while we're here, there's a young man in the Cincinnati area that will meet with his church tonight and probably will have to resign his church because of the conflict within. I'm telling you, God is not the author of confusion. You might be confused, but God's not confused. And so, I want to preach to you tonight, John chapter number 11, and if you'll turn there, and if you wouldn't, could. You see, Brother Chris on Monday night talked about the matter of God leading us the long route around. He didn't lead the short route. He talked about Pharaoh's desire. He talked about the struggle, the scheme of Pharaoh. He talked about the several things and reminded us that sometimes God does not let us go the short route. Sometimes it's the long route. And then Brother Craig preached on Monday night. He talked about the lame man that was here. He talked about the laying of the lame man, the look of the Lord, and then he talked about the lifting. And I'm grateful for the goodness of the, aren't you glad he lifted you? Amen. And a woman too. I'm saying I'm grateful tonight for the goodness of the Lord. John chapter 11. Please do not let familiarity rob you of what God has to say to us tonight. John chapter 11. Would you stand with me, please? I'll read a few verses and then keep your Bibles open to that point. The Bible said, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and I want to put a finger there and pause a minute and say, you too. Hallelujah. He not only loved them, and by the way, I don't believe he loved them anymore than he loves you. Amen. And then again, he said, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days, still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And I'm going to stop there. Please keep your Bible open to John chapter 11. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. Thank you for this good church. Thank you for Pastor Ennis and for his faithful people. Thank you, Lord, for the preachers that you've used this week to stir our heart. Thank you for the wonderful music. And, oh, Lord, I do pray that you might minister to us this evening. Lord, we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Do what I cannot do. I praise you and thank you for all you will do. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, I want you to turn with me to just one other passage and let me tie a thought together with this text. In the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, you know the account that our Lord has risen from supper, girded himself with a towel, took a basin of water, and began to wash the disciples' feet. If you'll turn, put your eyes upon verse 7. And the Lord Jesus is in a conversation with Peter. And he says to him, Jesus answered and said unto him, that's speaking to Peter, he said, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. He said, Peter, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now, I'm not trying to lift it out of context, but I want to say to you, that is a principle. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Someone said, hindsight is always 20/20. There's been a lot of things in my life that I didn't understand what God was doing. But I look back and see how God, hallelujah. I look back and I say with a songwriter, all the way my Savior leads me, what am I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercies who through life has been my guide? Now keep that thought in mind. He said, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You know what I believe he said? I believe he said, Peter, I understand that you don't understand, but you will understand. I understand that you don't understand, but there'll come a day you will understand. Amen. And could I tell you, somebody said, I asked a lot of questions, and other folks said, well, that's foolish, because in heaven you'll have a man likened to Christ. But I'm saying to you, I believe the Lord will let us ask some questions. You're welcome. Stay with me now. Now, I'm preaching tonight on when the mist is rolled away. There's mysteries of life, and life is filled with two kinds of experiences. Pleasing experiences and painful experiences. Now, I'm going to tell you, in the pleasing experiences, our faith is not tested. But it's in the painful experiences, it's where our faith is tested. Our faith is tested in those painful, sooner or later, the shadows is going to fill your life and the clouds are going to come. And you look up, and you probably won't be able to see much, but the clouds and the mist and the pressures and the problems. But I tell you, back of the clouds, the sun's always shining. And the Lord Jesus is viewing it from the other side of the storm. Hallelujah. I'm telling you tonight, God's in charge. And he said, hallelujah. He said this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Didn't say it be good. He said it works together for good. Stay with me now. I'm going somewhere. I'm trying to anyway. I'm saying sooner or later, the shadows and the clouds is going to come, and the painful experiences will cross your path. You see, I remember Billy Kelly talking about that fellow traveling down that terrible road, that bumpy road, and he stopped and asked the little boy on the side road. He said, "Son, is this road like this all the way?" He said, "No, sir. It's just this way to the cemetery. And when you get to the cemetery, it smooths on out." And can I tell you, hallelujah, that it might be rough from here to the cemetery, but it'll be smooth on in. Amen. Let me say this. I'm saying sometimes those clouds fall in and the mist settles in and we become disturbed and our faith is tested. And don't tell me, by the way, I don't believe that well. The Bible's for believers anyway. The Lord Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you to make sift you as wheat, but I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Can I tell you that your faith will be tested? If you're going to live for God, your faith's going to be tested. And by the way, you're no match, and I'm no match, apart from the good grace of God. I'm saying this way. Sometimes our faith falters. Somebody said, "Well, my faith never faltered." I know you lie about other things too. It's a matter of faith does falter, and the questions arise. And here's what we say. We said, "Lord, I don't understand why. I don't understand why. I don't understand. I've been doing all I know to do. I've been trying to live by the Bible. I've been faithful to God. Been tithing my income and trying to be a witness for the Lord. I don't understand why." Well, you might not have said that out loud, but you said it in your heart. And sometimes, could I say this? If you're not careful, you become embittered. Do you know there's a lot of God's people tonight that have the issue with God? Hello? You keep your head up. I'll tell you when we're going to pray. I'm saying this, if you're not careful, you become embittered. You see, God tells us that our ways are not His ways. God is working. Could I say a thought or two about it? When God speaks to our heart, we ought to be like Saul of Tarsus. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do? What is it you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And how do you want me to do it? And when do you want me to go?" And just be a faithful, obedient child of God. He said, "Peter, I want you to understand what I do thou knowest not right now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Let me give you two or three thoughts by way of introduction, and I'll give you the message. I want to say to you three profound truths that comes out of John 13:7. Number one, the Lord is doing something in, with, and through the life of every one of His children. The Lord is a... Somebody said, "You know, the Lord's starting to work down at our place." Can I tell you, Brother Ledbetter, God's always been at work. Hey, He's at work when you don't see Him. He's at work when you don't feel Him. He's at work when you don't sense Him. Thanks be to God. He is working in us. Well, Philippians 1:6 said, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in us will perform it in the day of Jesus Christ." Can I tell you, that was the preliminary work of Christ in salvation. But I read on and I find that there is a progressive work in our life that is called sanctification. Amen. That's a good Bible word. Amen. Sanctification. And then thank God for the promise work will be made like Him. Amen. We're not always going to be like that. We're going to be like Him. Hallelujah. What a thought. And so be reminded that God is doing something. He said, "What I do." He said, "Peter, what I do." That speaks of my action. What I do. The worker is God. He's at work in your life and work in my life. And listen, it is divine authority. He's working in our life. He's working according to His plan. It's not a haphazard plan, but He has a design for our life. And David said, "I know that God will perfect that which concerneth me," in Psalm 138 and verse number 8. I'm saying to you, God has a blueprint for my life and for yours, and He's working according to that blueprint. Let me say something else. This introduction. God is working. Number two, all that God's doing is in love and it's for our good. All that God's doing is in love and it's for our good. Love is operating every moment. He's silently working and planning in love for each one of us because He loves us so much. He's causing what? All things work together for good. He loves us. He prayed for you today. He thought about you today. He interceded for you today. He loves you. The devil comes along and accuses God for you. And by the way, I'm telling you, he is a liar and the father of it. When he accuses us before God, we better get something that we can hang our hat on. If you don't, you'll stay defeated the rest of your days. You're welcome. Could I say to you, God is doing something in our life. Number two, it's to recognize the fact that he's doing it in love. And number three, God never, 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 no ever makes a mistake. Yes. He's an all-loving, all-wise God. He's a sovereign Lord, and He never makes a mistake. For the present, we might not understand it. But what the Lord is doing in and with and through our life and the life of His children, He said, what I do, thou knowest not now. And so it's still a mystery. I don't understand why Stephen was martyred and James was beheaded. And listen, when we get to the place when we start living by sight and walking by sight, we become defeated and we become embittered in our heart. One day, we'll understand. And by the way, we're not living on explanations anyway. We don't have to have the explanation. We just trust God and go on. One day, the mist is going to roll away. Now, come back to me in John chapter 11. Let me give you some very simple little truths and I trust God will use it to help us. I want to speak, first of all, in the main part of the message tonight, I want to emphasize the dimness of the dusk times that comes in our life. It's not dark, but it's just before dark. It's the dusk time. Have you ever experienced any of that? Why, sure. That it might be somebody here tonight that you're not in darkness, but the dimness of the dusk time. Now we need to learn what to do when the dusk time settles in our life. And we know we're saved, and we know heaven's our home, we know Jesus is our Savior, and we just can't see clearly. We're not, am I talking to somebody tonight that understands what I'm saying? Oh, I'm saying to you tonight, there's that dusk time that enters in. Now, it was a case of Mary and Martha in John chapter 11. Notice with me, please, in verse 1 and 2. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, there's some things we must learn to do. Number one, we must not live in denial. Brother Sam, that's what kills us. We live in denial. And listen, we're in the dim time in our life. We're in that dust time in our life. But we're not willing to admit it. Don't live in denial. Admit the fact. Dear Lord, I can't see clearly. I don't understand. And the Lord Jesus will whisper back and say, son or daughter, I understand that you don't understand. But you will understand. Hallelujah to God. I'm saying to you, I don't know if that helps you, but it helps me tonight. Recognize that God knows the way that I take, and it might be a dim time, but God said, although you don't understand, you will understand. And I understand that you don't understand. Notice them in verse 3. In verse 3, the Bible said, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, who they send to? They send to the Lord, and said, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, here's what they, are you listening? We must not live in denial, and we must not depend upon performance. Now, here's where we get in trouble. We're in that dim time in our life. It might be physical. It might be financial. It might be spiritual. And here's what we're likely to do, Brother Pastor. We begin to compare what God did last time. Or we compare what God did in somebody else's life. And we have it all figured out how God is going to perform in behalf of our request. And I remind you again that God is a sovereign God. And though I don't understand, He is working all things together for my good. and for His glory. And so, don't depend upon performance. When it doesn't work out the way you thought it, and it doesn't work out the way you prayed it, and it doesn't work out the way you expected it, be reminded that God is still a God of love, and God is still working things out for your good and for His glory. Please help me. Verse 5, verse 6, he said, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now listen, when the dim times comes in your life, the dust times settles in. Yet you don't live in denial. You confess your not being able to understand. You don't depend upon, for what I'm trying to say is you don't put God in a box. You don't say, dear God, you did it this way last time. You got to do it the same way. Oh no, he can do it any way he chooses. He's sovereign. Notice with me again, don't get impatient. They thought God was late. But I'm going to tell you, listen, God's right on time. And maybe it sometimes felt like God was late in answering your prayer. Oh, yes. I'm saying to you, there's times in our life we got it all figured out. How God's going to work it out. God's going to answer our prayer. And God does answer prayer. But He doesn't always answer it the way we want it answered. And He doesn't always answer it in the time frame of us. Now, let me help you now. I'm a nobody, but I'm learning some things along the way. God is more interested in timing than He is time. We are consumed in time. And He's interested in timing. Was Jesus Christ late when He came? Oh no, He's right on schedule. But they thought He was late. So don't live in denial. Don't depend upon performance. And don't get impatient. Now let's see what we must do. Notice with me verse 3. Verse 3, the Bible said, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They called upon the Lord. That's the right thing. They went out of order. They was doing the right thing. They called upon the Lord. And then, listen, when we get in those dim times, we're to call upon our Lord. But notice with me this. We must get to the place where we're seeking out God's purpose in it. What's God doing? And it's all right to say why. It's all right to say, Lord, I don't understand. It's all right to say, Lord, I'm hurting. It's all right to say, Lord, I can't see too clear. It's all right to say, I'm saying that's being honest. I believe before God we could have revival in America if God's people would be honest with themselves and God. And so look for purpose. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Here's the purpose for the sickness, is that God would be glorified. Look for the purpose. You got to find that in verse 15, verse 11, verse 40. Find the promise, verse 4, and then take action. When the dust time comes in your life and in my life, it seems like our dreams seem to be dying. Seems like our hope says, it's dwindling away. You ever dreamed some dreams that never came true? Oh, I've dreamed many dreams that seemed like vanished before dawn. But I've dreamed enough dreams that came true that makes me want to keep on dreaming on. I'm saying God's in charge and God knows where I am. And He said, my child, I understand you don't understand, but you will understand. All right, let me say to you, when the dust time comes and your dreams seem to be dying, don't just sit there calling the Lord and take action. Number two, only got 3 points, and so stay with me. Number two, could I say this? The dimness of the dust time has changed now. It's not the dust time anymore. It is the discouragement of the dark times. The dust time, Brother Sam, turned into the darkness of midnight. Now, I'm saying to you, their dreams have died. Lazarus is no longer sick. He's dead. They expected the Lord to come. They expect the Lord to heal. But God's got a bigger plan. And He said, Mary and Martha, I understand that you don't understand. He wasn't harsh. He wasn't judgmental. He just simply stating a fact. Now let's see what we're going to do when the discouragement of the dark times comes in life. When your dreams have died, Lazarus no longer sick but dead. They had prayed and hoped, but their dreams are dead now. And I'm saying, what shall we do when the dreams have been broken and it seemed like our hopes have died? Notice with me verse 33. Verse 33, John chapter 11, the Bible said in verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they say unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Now, I want to say to you, when the dark times come, and the dimness is now turned into the dark times, and we're discouraged, don't hold back your tears. Somebody said, I don't believe it's very manly for a man to cry. I don't believe it's very godly for a man not to cry. I'm saying to you, dear friends, God breaks our heart and tenders our heart. You know what I feel, brother pastor? I feel the pressure of his hand. What's he doing? He's molding a vessel. Hallelujah. This treasure that we have. Oh, no. It's that treasure in us. It's not carnal. It's spiritual, that carnal. And so the Lord's doing what? He's put the treasure in the vessel. And he wants to fill the vessel. And here's what he does. He fills the vessel to the tip top. And when I meet you, or you meet me, and I'm hurting, God allows us to tip the vessel and pour out some help and some encouragement. Yeah. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. I'm saying this. Don't hold back your tears. Notice verse 21. I'm talking about how we're going to respond when the dark time settles in. When the doctor comes out and said, sir, I'm sorry, but there's no way we can help. I'm sorry, but your loved one has cancer. I'm sorry, but we can't help. Could I say to you, I've watched God. Are you listening to me? I've watched God and His mercy. I've heard the doctor say to the family, this man won't live to sunrise. Get everything in order. He won't live to sunrise. But they didn't recognize that there was a great physician that came walking in that room and touched that individual. And that man got up and walked out of the hospital and lived for years and years. I'm saying, you don't understand, God said, but you will understand. God's doing what? He's working all things together for good to them that love God. There are those who are called according to His purpose. And can I tell you, there's a verse 29 behind verse 28. And it says that He's doing what? He's conforming us to the image of His dear Son. He works outward. He works inwardly sometimes through circumstances. But He works outwardly by the pressure of His hand. And I want to say, blessed be the name of God. I feel the touch of the Master's strong hand. As He's molding my life. As He's putting things together. And so, verse 21, what I say, verse 21. And the Bible said, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou'st been here, my brother had not died. Now be careful. How are we going to respond when the darkness of midnight settles in? It's no longer dim. It's not the dust time. It's the discouragement of the dark times. And by the way, can I tell you, it's in those times, Brother Bob, sometimes that our closest friends can't help us and our mate can't help us. But there's a God in heaven that's interested and He's wanting to help us. And so He's saying, my dear child, I understand that you don't understand, but you will understand. And so He's saying this, don't dwell on what might have been. Amen. I'm telling you, God is in charge. God's in charge. I felt strangely impressed of God to come home a day early from a meeting up in Virginia. I got home on Tuesday evening. My wife had her issue with her heart on Wednesday afternoon. And I said, I bless the name of God so many times. I said, thank you, dear Lord, for your providence, how God had me in the right place at the right time. And by the way, that's no accident. It's not coincidental. That is the almighty sovereign hand of God that said, son, I understand that you understand, but you need to be back home. Hello? Notice with me verse 22. In verse 22, the Bible said this. He said, in verse 21, then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Verse 22, but I know. She said, I know. What's she know? He said, I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Could I tell you, when it gets dark, it's not the dust time, it's the dark time. Don't forget what you know. Amen. I'm saying to you, don't forget what God has done in the past. Don't forget what God's promised He'd do. Notice verse 37. Verse 37. Verse 37, the Bible said, verse number 37, and the Bible said, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Be careful. Don't blame God. Don't blame God. God is a God of love. And you don't understand it, but He's still sovereign and He's working it out for our good and for His glory. My grandpa had a heart attack, and my dad and his brother was taking my grandpa to the hospital, and they got within 10 miles of the hospital, and he had a massive heart attack and died in the back seat of the automobile. My dad became embittered toward God because my grandfather died. I'm saying to you, my dad wasn't the only one that became embittered toward God. And it might not have been the death of the loved one, but sometimes we hold resentment in our heart and we say, dear God, I understand. I'll tell you, that'll ruin you. That'll kill you spiritually. You've got to trust God where you can't trace Him. So verse 26, notice verse 26. The Bible said, Jesus said in verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? Here's the big question. Do you believe God? I said, put me on that list. I confess I believe God. And then be honest with your feeling. Verse 21 and 22, be honest with your feeling and then be yourself. How many times when folks is in a dark, dark valley and they can't see that far in front of their face, we have people come by and put their arms around and said, I know how you feel. Could I tell you, you don't know how they feel unless you've been where they are. But there's a God in heaven that knows where you are. Oh, yes. May I mention to you again, when you're getting those dark places, listen, reach out to someone else that's hurting. They thought was broken dreams, what they thought was hopes that was destroyed, was only an opportunity for a brand new beginning. Jesus is viewing the storm from the other side. And weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Let me give you a last little thought and I'll be done. There's not only the dimness of the dust time and the discouragement of the dark times, but thanks be to God, there's the delight of the new dawning. Dr. Lee Robertson, one of his favorite songs was Some Golden Daybreak. Jesus will come. Thank God He's coming. I believe everything's getting right in place. And I believe the coming of the Lord is so near. And so be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. We're not going to have to wait till the last 5 seconds of the game, kick a field goal, see whether we win or not. We are already more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And He said, son, I understand that you don't understand. And I've scratched my head, Brother Melvin, I've scratched my head a lot of times and said, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. Oh, you said, that sounds real carnal. I don't care what it sounds like, that's reality. I've had to say, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. But I can look back now, and I bless His name. Even though I didn't understand, I'm grateful that He was still working it all out. According to His divine plan, His sovereign will. Three little things and I'm done. Could I say to you tonight, the Lord Jesus still resurrects broken dreams. He still resurrects broken dreams. And He still turns it into new beginnings. It behooves us to know what to do when the dawn of a new day arrives. That dawn brought forth three things. And I'll say this and I'm done. And what I want to say to you, verse 38. Notice verse 38. Verse 38, the Bible said, Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead four days. Now, could I say this? If you're going to see the dawning of a new day, Jesus said, here's what you must do. You must take the stones away. You must roll the stone away. The stone of doubt. The stone of unbelief. By the way, you know and I know that the Lord Jesus could have brought Lazarus forth without that stone being moved. And it reminds us of this. In our darkness, there's still things that God wants us to do. And if I'll do what I can do, then God does the miraculous. And so are you listening? It was not until that stone was rolled away that they experienced new light. The stones move, and light shines in.
Yeah.
You ain't getting it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, did. Come on.
The stones roll away,
yes.
And the light beams in.
Yeah. Amen.
There's new light.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus stood and with a loud voice said, Lazarus, come forth. They not only experienced new light, there's now new life. He who was dead comes forth. New life. Jesus said unto Mary and Martha, loose him and let him go. He could have brought him forth without the grave clothes, but he didn't. He said, loose him and let him go. And when he was loose, they experienced new liberty. New light, new life, new liberty. When I was lost, I was as dead in trespasses and sin spiritually as Lazarus was physically. And there was a night, on Friday night it was, June 14th, 1960, when the Lord Jesus said, take away the stone. All the doubt, all the speculation, all the religion, all the works was stripped away. And he said, come forth. And I came forth. And I have new life. And through a process of time, I was loosed. And I have new liberty. Oh, Lord, help us. So the Lord resurrects broken dreams. I don't know what your dream is tonight. I think you ought to have a dream. But the Lord resurrects broken dreams and turns them into new beginnings. There's a lot of things I dreamed about doing and wanted to do and felt like it was God's will that I saw die along the way. And I became so discouraged and, to be honest with you, defeated sometimes. But I want to report to you tonight that God has the ability to resurrect those broken dreams. And by the way, when those dreams are resurrected, it is a platform for a new beginning. Our God is not limited. Our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I don't know where you are tonight. But that wonderful song that this family presented tonight, that reminded us of the fact that we just see this side of the storm. But there's a Heavenly Father that sees that side of the storm. And He's saying, my child, I do understand that you don't understand, but you will understand. We sing that song. We'll talk it over in the by and by. Now, I know some folk don't like the song, but I do. We'll talk it over in the by and by. I'll ask the reason and he'll tell me why when we talk it over in the by and by. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're on our way home. And though it might be dim and sometime it gets dark, there is a new dawning that's just around the corner. Paul said we look through the glass darkly tonight. But there's going to come a day we'll see face to face. And I'll know him and he'll know me. I don't know about you, but I love him. And I appreciate the fact of His goodness and mercy to me. Could I tell you, if the Lord was to allow us to know everything He was doing, we couldn't handle it. And so He just said to Peter, what I'm doing right now, You don't understand. But you will understand. I understand my wife's situation. She's walking every day. Never have had a problem. And now the doctors say she has a major problem. And the doctors want to do some things that we wasn't satisfied with. And so I'm reminded, somebody said, is that a high risk? It's not a high risk to trust God. And I've had to say, Lord, I don't understand. I understand what you're doing. Why, the Lord could have healed Lazarus. But had he healed Lazarus, they would never have known him in the power of the resurrection. Yeah. And so don't get discouraged. Don't become defeated when the dim times come, the dust time, and the dark times. Just thank God there's a new day of dawning.